Good morning and happy Sabbath. Just to make sure, all of you can hear me, yes? Okay. And as Pastor Mark already mentioned, I'm not following the order. I'm just doing my own thing. Amen. Is that okay? Yeah. I gave him the topics, but not exact titles. So I have to do some rearranging my presentations. Now, this morning, before I give you my presentation for this morning, I want to thank Pastor Wolf for making a correction regarding my mistake last night. How many of you picked up my mistake last night? Whoops. Oh, it is so embarrassing. Dr. Lindsay, could you correct me? Yes, sir. Yes, sir. I don't know what happened. Maybe I was going through jet lag. Something happened. I apologize. The chart was wrong. The date when John the Baptist made the announcement regarding the mission of Christ happened 27 AD, not 29. So that was totally my mistake. It's a good opportunity for me to practice. I am teachable. Amen. I can humble myself. All right. So I'm more than happy to be corrected, and thank you so much. And it totally, it's like, how did I miss that? You know. But anyhow, but thank you. But if you didn't catch that, oh, that was a test for you, huh? Yeah, you better do more checking me out. Amen. All right. Now this morning, I am going to try to keep the Sabbath school format type style, but also going through some very interesting Bible study on how to answer difficult Bible questions. Now, before we continue, I'd like to invite, three volunteers, because I want you to get involved, okay? I'd like to invite three volunteers to come up here and to answer a difficult Bible question, okay? Three volunteers. And these volunteers, if you think you know the Bible, then you should come up. But you know, really, to make my presentation really good, I need people that will come up here and they think they know, but they don't know what they're saying. So if you're in that kind of category, you're more than welcome to come up. Did I just destroy the courage? It doesn't matter. I really need three samples. Victims. Oh, oops. I'm sorry. Three volunteers. Bold, courageous, fearless volunteers. Three volunteers. Okay, if you don't volunteer, thank you, sir. This is going to be like John Huss. Amen. Two more. Please, stand up here, please. Stand right here, sir.
Why don't we pull the other two first?
Yes. Two more. If you don't volunteer, please, volunteer somebody. Volunteer someone. Who? All right. Okay. Now, one more person. What's her name? Johanna. Come on down. You are our next contestant. Okay, all you have to do, now, first of all, let me do my disclaimer. After you give your answers, I may say things that may be like sounding mean or make you feel bad.
Oh, no.
So don't feel bad.
No, this is the Sabbath. So.
Amen. I love you. You love me, right? You love me? Okay. So I just need any answer that if it's good, then I will say so. But if it's not, I will mention that. So don't feel bad if I do that. We are learning together, right? We are learning. But what's your name, ma'am?
Johanna.
Johanna. Sounds like you're from a different country.
Holland.
Holland. Okay. What's your name, sir?
Benny.
And you're from?
Fiji.
Fiji. Wow.
Nolan. Solomon Islands. Solomon Islands.
Wow. International, right here. Wow, look at that. Wow. Okay. Now, you cannot share your answers, okay? And all you have to do, answer this question. Are you ready? Look at the screen. Look at the screen. Now, we're looking at this Bible text. And our brethren, if I can say, in Mormon church, they like to use this Bible text to say, just read it first in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 29. Else, what shall they do which are baptized for the dead, if the dead rise not at all? Why are they then baptized for the dead? So in Mormon church, now do you know about this? In Mormon church, they actually have this belief that you can be baptized for your uncle, your auntie, or your grandfather, grandmother who has not been baptized and they passed away. So you can actually help them to go to heaven or paradise if you get baptized for them. And they use this Bible text. And what will be your first answer? Are you thinking? First of all, do you understand my question? Could you nod your head?
Yeah.
Sir? Hello? Do you understand my question?
Partly.
You know about Mormon church?
Yeah.
They use this Bible text to defend their practice regarding a living person can get baptized for the people that are already dead. And they use this Bible text. What would you say? And a Mormon missionary came to your door and they're using this Bible text to teach you about baptism for the dead. What would be your first answer? How do you guys feel in the audience? Do you feel like, oh yeah, I know the answer. If you know the answer, raise your hand. One person, Pastor Mark. Is this the only one person can answer? Come on. Or I think many of you are shy. Don't be shy. Shyness is only for Asians. Don't be so shy. Wait. Don't give out answers, but just make some suggestions. Go ahead. Okay, stop right there. Don't go. Don't go there. What will be your first answer? Now, am I doing something practical? Do we need to be able to answer difficult Bible questions? Is this part of evangelism? Then how to do this? Right? What will be your first answer? Are you guys ready? All right. Lady first. What will be your first answer? Go ahead.
At that time, they believed in that sort of thing, and Paul made them tell that it's not for the dead, but that Christ is for the living, and that we should hang on to Christ, and in Him we rise, and live and have our being.
Okay. Now, it sounds very good. It sounds very good. Now, what would be your first Bible text to go to?
Okay.
It sounds good, but you got to keep in mind, it got to be convincing. Yes? And you said, Christ is what? For the living. And He is not for the?
Dead.
Mm-hmm. What if they say, well, God said, I am the God of Abraham.
Isaac and Jacob.
And Jesus said, is He the God of the living or the dead?
He's the living God. He's the living God. And we shouldn't be concerned about it. If the people are dying in Christ, They are saved, and we don't have to pray for them. We don't have to do things for them. There's
okay.
Lots of moments.
You see, I have to say, you know what, when you're dealing with difficult questions, you don't want to get into arguments. So whatever you say, it has to be so easy for the person to say, that's logical, that's simple, and that's clear. And you can say a lot of good things, you got to know the next step. Now, because they can easily say, you know, God, you know, even Jesus say, he is the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and they're dead. And then God is the God of the dead. Or is he God of the God of the living? If they say that, then there will be, maybe then it will go into tangent. And we want to avoid that. We want to avoid going into tangent. Now, what will be your first answer?
I guess I will take it this way. In order to answer the question, one needs to have a right grasp of what baptism is all about.
So then so the next thing that you want to do is to study the concept of baptism. Is that what you're saying? Okay.
And for one to be baptized, you have to be alive.
You see, right there, I mean, I do, of course, I'm with you, okay? We're in the same army. But just putting myself in their camp, listening to that, it says, you said you have to be alive. But they will say to you, but yeah, one day who's getting baptized should be alive, but you can get baptized for the dead. Then what would you say? Please help these Mormons.
I would say Jesus had been baptized before. For every person on earth.
So you're going to say Jesus got baptized for everybody, so we don't really have to get baptized for the dead? Then why should we get baptized at all then? You see the argument can. Do you understand what's happening here? Then there will be a fight, right? Yeah? So we want to avoid that. Thank you. You ready? I'm sorry, I'm kind of mean here, right? You ready?
Let's try.
It's okay. Let's try.
I'm not sure whether we have a one of our teaching in our 27 or 28 fundamental doctrine on living forever. We teach them, this friend of ours, about how to live forever. And if they believe in the states of the dead and the living, then help them to understand first that part. Then, if they accept that the dead know nothing from Ecclesiastes, then I will go into the teaching of baptism.
Okay, so you want to go and deal with the issue of the state of the dead. Okay, now that sounds pretty logical because you're dealing with the background information about the dead. Okay, very good. I believe there is some, there is a clear direction there in that method. Please say amen for our three volunteers.
Amen.
Thank you so much. Thank you.
Still wanted to say, but something.
You want to say more?
Yes.
Okay, go ahead.
In that time, they had themselves baptized, say, for a father or for a mother or, you know, that sort of thing. And that was baptized for the dead. They wanted to be sure. Understand what I mean?
They got baptized for?
Well, to say, for example, for baptized because my mother lived that way and I want to be like that as well. And or father or family.
So you're saying I got baptized because my father got baptized, my mother got baptized?
Some of them do.
I'm sure. Like, so in other words, they got baptized because they want to follow the family tradition.
Yeah.
But this issue is, I don't think it's a family tradition issue, it's something else. That the way the Mormon people are trying to deal with trying to say. But thank you so much. Thank you. Okay, very good. Now, do I have... now, our doctor and pastor... Pastor, you're out. Don't give any answers, okay? But other lay people, okay? If you really think you have a good answer, this is your chance to win. Go ahead. Yes, the lady in purple. Can you hear her? Could you come up here? Okay. Are you saying, ma'am, are you saying Paul is denouncing the actual practice of the people at that time because the people actually got baptized for the dead? You're saying they actually practiced that? Do you have any historical record for that? I'm sure our pastors are itching. Thank you. Sorry to stop you. Thank you. I just need to hear one clear Bible text that says that the people back then in Corinth, they were actually practicing baptism for the dead. And you have to use a Bible text that is beyond verse 29. Okay, it sounds like I am bringing to you a very difficult question. Okay. All right then. Try this. Okay. Here are the principles that you want to remember. You guys ready? All right. Try this. First of all, you are going, when you hear many objections or difficult questions, you have to really, number one, identify the source of the question. In this case, this is a source, okay? And in other words, they're using a Bible text to teach false doctrine. But you still need to understand what Bible text they're using. What is their main text? Okay, in this case, 1 Corinthians 15, verse 29. Now, after that, this is what you need to do. Here are the steps. You guys ready? Okay, step number. After that, before I go into my steps, let me show you what some of our people usually do. Okay? And when our people are challenged with this question, many of us, I'm thinking, I might be wrong, but many of us would start talking about, it's a good answer, but it may not be clear to the person who's asking the question. But many times we just start shooting Bible verses that talks about the state of the dead. So we say things like, well, the dead know not anything according to Ecclesiastes. And John 11, verse 11, verse 14 says, and when Lazarus dead, Jesus said he was sleeping. And he does not know anything. And then Ecclesiastes 12, verse 7, it says, dust returns to the earth and the spirit returns to God. So dead know not anything. And James says, for as body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead. You see? When you're dead, you're dead. So you cannot really get baptized for the dead. And he knelt down and cried with a loud voice, talking about Stephen, Lord, lay not this sin to their charge. And when he has said this, he fell asleep. You see, even Stephen, when he died, the Bible says, he fell asleep. And when you're sleeping, you don't know anything. So dead do not know anything. Okay? And then Daniel chapter 12 verse 2 says, many of them that sleep in the dust of the earth shall wake some to everlasting life. See, the Bible actually uses the word that God will wake up the dead because they are sleeping. They are sleeping in Christ. So I just basically just reviewed the verses that talk about the doctrine of the state of dead. Do you think these verses should be good enough for the person who's asking the question be satisfied? Why do you shake your head that the person cannot be satisfied? That's not the question. He's not asking a question about what? State of the dead. He's asking the question, if you can you get baptized? Can you get baptized for somebody who is dead? That's the question that the person is asking or promoting, right? So you really have to know what they're asking. So identify the source of their question. So this is what you do. So before you start giving all these proof texts, wait, stop, and do this. Where do we start? This is how you start. Identify the key words in the text first. Identify the key words in the text. What words do you think are the key words? Come on. When I say key words that are connected to the very question. Exactly. Key words, the main key words are baptized and dead. So, when you study this text, now see, look, all those proof texts, they don't really work in the beginning, right away. They may work later on, but immediately they may not work. You know why? Because you're quoting from Ecclesiastes, James, you're from Daniel, and other books in the Bible, but you are not talking about 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Do you understand? So you really have to, when somebody is asking a question from Ephesians chapter 2, where would you study first? Ephesians chapter 2. If somebody is asking a question about 1 Timothy chapter 3, where would you study first? 1 Timothy chapter 3. Do you understand? Don't try to quote so many verses from other books of the Bible. Not right away. Study. So the first thing, look at the Bible text and identify the key words. In this case, baptized and dead. So we want to know more about this. Yes or no? The next thing you should do, baptized and dead. And the next thing you should do, what do you think we should do? What do you think we should do? The next thing. By the way, there may not be right or wrong answer here. It's just, this is what I do. And I want to know what you do. Maybe we can somehow learn from each other. Go ahead. Did you say read the whole chapter? Yeah. Okay, very good. You can go ahead, read the whole chapter. But this is what I like to do. This is what I like to do. And that's fine too. And I'm going to do that a little bit later. But before I do that, this is what I like to do. What I like to do is, I always like to study the original meaning. So what do? I look up those words in Greek dictionary or lexicon. You with me? I do that. And sometimes those definitions can be helpful. Sometimes they may not be so helpful. But just the fact, if you show the person who is asking the question the Greek definition, it gives you, you are building credibility. You're saying to the person, I am trying to understand based on the original language. I'm not doing bias, I'm not giving you bias opinion. What I learned from the church. I'm trying to understand this, you know, basically in a sense, academical way. So, go ahead and look it up. Baptize. Baptizo in Greek. Okay? What does that mean? To immerse, submerge, to make whelmed. And it's interesting. And this may not be, you know, in line with our topic here, but it says fully wet. Do you like that? Yeah, the definition gives you the idea that baptized or baptizo means you are fully wet, not sprinkled. Okay? And then it says about the ordinance of Christian baptism. Now, looking at the definition in Greek, it doesn't really say anything about if you can get baptized for the dead or not, right? It just describes what baptism means. Okay, but it is still good that you go over it. You understand? And it is still good if you can go and share it. And then the next word I want to study is what? Dead. In Greek, nekros. From an apparently primary nekos, a corpse. Dead. Literally, figuratively, also as now dead. So it looks like dead means what? Dead. Okay. All right, in this case, again, Greek language didn't really help us that much, but at least you covered it, yeah? Okay. Go ahead, ma'am.
I like verse 26.
You like verse 26?
26, where it says, the last enemy that shall be destroyed
is death. Yes.
Why should we be baptized
for
something that is an enemy?
Yeah. Let's go through some step by step. You have to read the whole chapter. Okay, you have to read the whole chapter. That sounds, yeah, profound, but it may not be. It may not be. It may not be. The next thing that I want to do, the next thing that I want to do, before, after I did my, what did I do? Definition, right? The word study. Next thing I want to do, I want to go ahead and compare with other translations. Are you against other translations? Do you recognize problems in other translations? You better. I recognize problems in other translations. However, I'm not against comparing the text in other translations. Why? Because sometimes other translations can give an additional word that is very helpful. Sometimes not, but sometimes, yes. Sometimes, you know, me, primarily, I use King James. Okay? And I'm that kind of person that says, you know, you better only use King James, otherwise you go to hell. I don't say things like that. However, I use King James because, for me, King James seems to be most reliable. At the same time, I have 15 different translations. So when I go through them all, I get to know what other translations is saying, and I get to know what other people are thinking. You with me? Yeah. So I compare with other translations, and this is what I discovered. Can you read that? It's too small? Should we pass out binoculars? 1 Corinthians 15:29, it says, this is from American Standard Version, else what shall they do that are baptized for the dead, if the dead are not raised at all? Why then are they baptized for the dead? Okay. This one is about the same, right? Okay. This is a New American Standard Bible. Otherwise, what will those do who are baptized for the dead? Otherwise, what will those do who are baptized for the dead, if the dead are not raised at all? Why then are they baptized for the dead? Baptized for them. Again, it's about the same. And this is from Revised English Bible. Again, there are those who receive baptism on behalf of the dead. Now that one is it's like, that's not translation, that's interpretation. And what do you suppose they are doing if the dead are not raised to life at all? Who do they mean by being baptized on their behalf? Now, you can see how people can believe the Mormon doctrine if they read Bible texts like this from that translation. You see that? So if Mrs. Joan is using that Bible translation, then you can show her what? Other versions to say, well, that's not the only way of translation. You understand what I'm doing? I'm trying to be logical and fair. Okay? But then look at this translation. I like this one. This translation is more modern. It's called God's Word. And I don't say it's all okay. But in this particular translation, it says, however people are baptized because the dead will come back to life. If the dead cannot come back to life, why do people get baptized as if they can come back to life? Now, I don't know about you, but that one may come pretty close. So, even though comparing with other translations, it may help, may not, but it's good to go over, just in case. Now, then what should we do? Read according to the context. This is when you have to read the whole thing. The question is coming from verse 29, right? Chapter 15. So what you have to do, at least, you got to read the whole chapter. Just like figuring out those jigsaw puzzles. How can you identify what one piece is without all the pieces around it? You with me? Same idea. So then, if the Bible text, if the question comes from Matthew, yep, where would you go and find the answer for the question that comes from Book of Matthew? Would you go to Genesis? Would you go to Psalms? Would you go to Isaiah? Would you go to Romans? Would you go to Revelation? You can later on, but the immediate thing, most logical thing that you should do, stay right there in Matthew. In the same chapter. And if you want, you can go chapter before and chapter after, but stay right there in Matthew. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? That's reading according to context. Stay right there. Don't go other places. Not right away. So then, I give you the whole chapter of 1 Corinthians 15. Okay, let's read. I'm just kidding. That's the whole chapter, okay? So you got to read the whole chapter. And then, guess what I'm going to do? Can you see the verse 29 I highlighted in yellow? Do you remember I said the keywords are baptized and dead, right? Okay. So as I read the whole chapter, guess what I'm looking for? Guess what I'm looking for? I want to see what the rest of the chapter says about baptized and dead. Exactly. Is that logical? Are you following the steps? Okay. So then this is what I discover. You guys ready? If you can see this, bam. Can you see that? What happened? What you got here, I highlighted every time the word dead, death, die is mentioned. Can you see? And believe it or not, the word baptism is only mentioned in verse 29. So the issue is not so much baptism. The issue is more on the death. Ah. Remember we had three volunteers? One of them said, I think we have to study more about baptism. Okay. The other one says, I think we have to study more about death. I think we should study more about the death. You understand my logical reason for that? Because the whole chapter talks a lot more about dead. Yeah? Okay. Is this any help to you? Are you learning something? It's worth your money? Your time? Yeah? Okay. Here we go. So then, verse 29 is where the question is coming from, right? So we got to read all the verses before, and then we should read all the verses after. Okay? But many times, if there's a question in verse, let's say if there's a question in a text like verse 29, Usually, listen carefully, usually the answer is before. Usually. And sometimes after. Just keep that in mind. So you have to understand. All right then. Then what I'm going to do, I'm going to do verse by verse reading. Not the whole chapter. Just starting from verse 12. Yep. Just starting from verse 12. And we're trying to figure out what the issue is. What is the big picture? What is the main issue? In other words, I want to figure out why Paul said, for else, why should we get baptized for the dead? Why did Paul, what caused Paul to say that? I want to figure out what caused Paul to say, why should we get baptized for the dead? Why should they get baptized for the dead? Okay? Okay, let's find out the reason. Now, if Christ be preached that he rose from the dead, if Christ be preached that he rose from the dead, that means preaching about the resurrection of Christ, yes? How say some among you that there is no resurrection of the dead? So then, stop right there. In verse 12, what problem do you think Paul is dealing with? Okay, what about resurrection? Some people are saying what? There is no resurrection. So, okay. So, right there in verse 12, Paul is trying to defend what? That there is resurrection. Are we together? Okay. Are we good? That's verse 12. Remember that. The issue is, some people are saying no resurrection of the dead. Verse 13. But if there be no resurrection of the dead, you see that? See the continuing verse? Verse 13. It is still talking about if there is no resurrection of the dead. So we know clearly that's the topic. Some people are saying there's no resurrection. Perhaps they got influenced by Sadducees, because Sadducees didn't believe in resurrection. Okay? Then is Christ not risen? If you say there's no resurrection of the dead, then Christ is not risen. 14. And if Christ be not risen, if he's not risen, then is our preaching what? Vain, and your faith is also vain. So again, based on reading those three verses, Paul makes it very clear. If you say there's no resurrection, Christ is not risen, our faith is in vain. Yep. Okay. That's the topic, right? Just to check, do you think in these three verses, topic is about why some people are getting baptized for the dead? It's not, right? It's not. Are you listening? The topic is not, oh, there are some heathen people coming into the church in Corinth and they're practicing this baptism for those who are dead. And let me tell you something. It's not like that. It's about, why are you saying there's no resurrection? If you say that, then everything is in vain. Verse 15, again, see, no resurrection of the dead. Verse 15, yay! And we are found false witnesses of God because we have testified of God that he raised up Christ. What is Paul saying? We are liars. If you say there's no resurrection, then we all become liars. Why? Because we said Jesus is risen. Whom he raised not up, if so be that the dead rise not. Verse 16. For if the dead rise not, then is not Christ raised. So Paul's main argument was what? If you say no resurrection, if there's no resurrection, then Christ is not risen. That was his main argument so far. Can you follow? Next verse. Verse 17. And if Christ be not raised, your faith is Then he already mentioned that. Paul likes to do that. He likes to repeat himself, but he keep adding new things. And the additional information he's adding, ye are yet in your what? Sins. That means you are not free from sin. And then they also which are fallen, next word please. Next word please. Asleep. Another word for asleep. Dead. Then they also which are fallen dead in Christ are what? Perished. Those who are dead in Christ, they are perished because there is no resurrection. So dead in Christ becomes in vain. So then it's like they are not dead in Christ. Therefore they are dead in sin. Am I losing you guys? Are we good so far? Yep. Okay. If I'm not doing a good job, you fire me, okay? Fire at me. That's fine. Burn me at the stake. Verse 20. But now is Christ arisen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that what? So before he said, if you say no resurrection, then Christ is not risen. No resurrection, Christ is not risen. No resurrection, your faith in Christ in vain, you are dead in sin. But let me tell you, but, see that word big but now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept. Verse 21, for since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. Resurrection of the dead. So what's the issue so far? What's the issue? Come on. So far, what's the issue? It's the resurrection part, yes? Yeah? Okay. So far. Remember the key words? What are the key words? Baptism and dead. So which word you think he is talking about? Baptism or dead? If you have to choose, exactly. He's talking about dead or death. Yeah? Read verse by verse. Here we go. For as in Adam, all die. Even so in Christ, shall all be made alive. So we all going to die because Adam, right? But we all going to be resurrected because of? When the Bible says all, does that mean everybody? Does that mean everybody? Exactly. Everybody will be resurrected. The wicked and righteous. Everybody. We know. It says, but every man in his what? Order. Everybody will be resurrected, but according to their order. Christ the first fruits, afterward they that are what? Christ. They that are Christ, meaning they belong to Christ at his coming. So Paul says very clear, yes, by one man everybody dies, but because of one man everybody get resurrected, but according to their order. If he belongs to Christ, you will be resurrected at the coming of Christ. Yeah? Are we good so far? You know what? When I explain like this to you, when you listen, it sounds so, oh, easy. But when you go and try, it's difficult. Don't get discouraged if you face that. You know why it's difficult? Because you're not used to explaining it in that logical fashion. That's all. You just have to get used to. When you listen to somebody playing violin, it looks so easy, right? Go home and try. Right? It doesn't sound right. You got to practice, practice, practice. Even the way you explain things, you have to practice, practice, practice. But it got to be systematic. You cannot go all over. You cannot create your own nice thoughts. No, it got to be systematic, logical. 1, 2, 3, ABC. Why you have to be like this? Because you got to be convincing. Not, you know, blah, 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 blah. Say a lot of things, but you are not making any sense. So the people will say, you are Seventh-day Adventist talking a lot of nonsense. You don't want to get that. And ladies and gentlemen, I have to say, I'm sorry, but many of us, we do that. That's why we look occult. Because we are believing things without any logic. Not because we don't have logic in our teaching, but because the way we express ourselves, not logical. Amen? Amen. It's true. Okay. So, all be made alive, but every man in his own order. They that are Christ at his coming. So, Adam, look at this. Because of Adam, we are going to die. All die. But Christ, all be made alive. But you already know there are two resurrections. Yes or no? So all be made alive, but those who are Christ belongs to Christ and not Christ. Yeah? Is that pretty logical? If there are people that belong to Christ, then there's got to be people that they don't believe in belong to Christ. Yeah, that's just pretty simple. Okay then. Then there's a resurrection for those who belong to Christ, and there's a resurrection for those who do not belong to Christ. Those who belong to Christ, we can say they are dead in Christ. But those that don't belong to Christ, they are dead in? They're dead in sin. Let me show you. Jesus said, now here I'm bringing other Bible texts. Now is when I'm bringing other Bible texts. You with me? Yeah? I have established my basis first. Contextual setting first. When that is clear, I'm bringing in other Bible references. Find Bible references. I say therefore unto you that ye shall die in your sins. For if ye believe not that I am he, ye shall die in your sins. That's where I get the idea of dead in sin. And the Bible makes it very clear. And shall come forth they that have done good unto resurrection of life, and they that have done evil unto resurrection of damnation. Right there, it proves there are two resurrections. Resurrection of life and resurrection of damnation. Is that clear so far? Okay. And then, okay, so then, what I'm about to say next is going to I'm going to have a break point. In other words, this is going to reveal something. Okay? It's going to be, it's going to destroy what they believe. So I have established, I clearly established 1 Corinthians 12 to at least 21-22. The issue is on resurrection. And according to the Bible, all will be resurrected. But there will be two resurrections, those that belong to Christ, those that don't belong to Christ. Resurrection of life and resurrection of damnation. Now, so then, if you want to be part of the resurrection of life, you've got to be what? Don't say baptized. Did I even mention anything about baptism yet? You got to be what? Christ. You got to establish that factor first before you say, because they get it baptized. No, you got to establish the next point based upon conclusion from this point. What's the conclusion? In order to be part of the resurrection of life, you gotta be Christ. Yes? So then the next question is what? How to be Christ. Is that logical? Yes or no? Right? How to be Christ. Galatians 3:29, I love this. And if he be, what? If he belongs to, it's the same word, Christ. Then are ye Abraham's seed and heir according to the promise. So, we were talking about the same thing, yes or no? But then the question is, again, how to be Christ. Okay? This is how. Bam. For as many of you as have been what? Baptized into Christ, have put on Christ. That's verse 27. And 29 says, and if he be Christ, so how to be Christ? You got to be baptized. Amen. Right there. You see it? It's right there. I'm not making any stories up. I'm not just saying fanciful theological words. It's from the Bible. Look at it. It's simple. You see that? Okay then. How to be Christ? You got to get baptized. Okay. All right then. Then we go back to our original text. Else, what shall they do which are what? Baptized for the dead. If the dead rise not at all, why are they then baptized for the dead? Back here. So people got baptized. Why? They want to be Christ. And the reason why they want to be Christ is Christ, because they want to receive resurrection of life. Because they want to die in Christ. So when they got baptized, listen carefully, when they got baptized to be part of dead in Christ. Are you with me? So when they get baptized, what their baptism was for what? Not only die, but die in Christ. That's why they got baptized. Because if you don't get baptized, if you don't accept Jesus, when you die, you're dead in sin. But because they got baptized, now they have the privilege to be dead in Christ. Baptized for the dead. That's the issue, isn't it? So baptized means what? To be Christ. For the dead? What does that mean? Dead in Christ. That they may have resurrection of life. Then it makes perfect sense. Why? If you say there's no resurrection, then why do you get baptized if there's no resurrection? Because baptism says, if you get baptized, you will receive the promise of resurrection. But if you teach that there's no resurrection, why should they get baptized to be dead in Christ? Are you with me? So Paul is saying, don't say there is no resurrection of the dead. If you say so, all these people got baptized to be part of Christ, to be dead in Christ. They all die in vain. If you say there is no resurrection, give final confirmation. First Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 16. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, and the what? The dead in Christ shall rise what? First. You know why first? Because there is a second resurrection. The first resurrection are for those who are righteous by faith in Christ. Are we good? Let's review. Number one, identify the source of the question. Number two, identify the key words. Number three, search for original definition. Number four, compare with other translations. Number five, read according to the context. Number six, read verse by verse, looking for the link. Yep, looking for the link. And then, number seven, find Bible references to support. And then, interpret the text. And then finally, give final confirmation. Any questions? Is it okay? My time is up. So, if you use this principle, I don't claim that this is the only way to answer difficult questions. But if you use this principle, you'll be able to answer many more questions that perhaps you weren't able to before. That, I guarantee. This means what? You better do some of your own studies, researching, examining, okay? Before you say anything fanciful, before you give any fanciful answers, yeah? Ask yourself, are you clearly logical? Are you being fair, not biased according to that person's hearing? Are you going step by step? You gotta be. Otherwise, you're going to have Bible text war. Have you had that before? Yeah. Don't do that. Final comment. Do you remember that man from Ethiopia? Ethiopian eunuch? Yeah? You remember he was studying? What was he studying? Isaiah 53. It sounds like Isaiah 53, right? And he was asking the question about who is the man in that book, in that chapter, yes? So when Philip, that was Philip, right? When Philip was answering his question, where do you think he went to answer his question? You think he went to Genesis or Exodus, Leviticus? Where did he go, you think? Most likely he went to Isaiah. And to explain to him who the Messiah, the book of Isaiah, is talking about. And then after a long, long Bible study on that chariot, he got baptized. God bless you as you do your homework. Amen? Let's pray together. Loving Heavenly Father, we thank you so much. May you give us the courage, the wisdom, and the willingness to do the hard work of studying for ourselves, that we may know how to give the hope that we have in our hearts, that we can stand clear and strong, clearly and strongly on the word in the truth. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.